What an awesome. Yes, you're right. Children's church for all of the young and 7 years old and under. You can meet Joey and Don and Larry Cassidy at the back. And the rest of us can just focus for just a moment on the songs that we've heard. Do you realize that God has given each one of us the awesome privilege to share the greatest good news that man needs to hear today? The news that there is hope in Jesus Christ. And I don't know what mountains may need to be moved in your life. Right now, for you, things may seem like it's an impossible situation. But I want you to know this morning that with God, nothing is impossible. Though you may not be able to see a way out of your circumstances or what you're going through, there is a God who already knows what He's going to do, and He's just waiting for you to trust in Him with all of your heart and lean upon Him. God knows. God cares. You know, 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Let's bow together in prayer this morning before we begin this message. Almighty Father, we just praise You and we thank You, all God, for You are our rock. You are our high tower. You are our shield. You are our buckler. Father, we thank You that in these days and in these times when many times we don't know what the answer are, Father, You do. And we just need to lean upon You. Oh Lord, help us not to run around in the energy of our flesh seeking to find our own answers, but help us look into the perfect Word of God. For Father, Your Word says unto us that if any man seeks wisdom, let him ask of God. And God supplies that which we need daily. And so Lord, we are most thankful. Father, I pray that we recognize this morning the awesome privilege that You've given unto us to come in here this morning and to engage in that two-way conversation called worship, where we have sung our hearts unto Thee, and Lord, we now get prepared to hear Your Word unto us. O Lord, speak unto us in this day in which we are living. Transform us and give us hope. In Christ's name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Now, family and friends, last week we began a series entitled very simply, Two Kinds. How many of you realize that the Word of God has a lot to say when it comes to the number two? For example, there are two sexes in this world. In the animal and the human kingdom, male and female, the animals walked into Noah's Ark two by two. There are but two destinations at the end of our lives. There is heaven or there is hell. There are but two roads for a man to walk through in life. There is the broad way that leads to destruction. There is the narrow way that leads to eternal life. The number one excludes all differences, but the number two lets us know there is a difference. There is a difference between good and evil. There is a difference between right and wrong. There is a difference between God and man. The number two, it can imply opposition, enmity, and oppression. Two is the first number we use to divide by, and the Bible teaches that on the second day of creation, our Lord said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Enmity is seen in the Holy Bible, first in the book of Genesis, when the Lord God said in Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Thereby giving us the very first promise of a coming Redeemer for the souls of men, and letting us know the reality of our mortal enemy, Satan. in the Bible, we have but two testaments. There's the Old and there is the New. And last week we learned when it comes to God's Word and the hearing of it, there are but two kinds of listeners. And I'll remind you again, those two kinds of listeners are present here this morning in this sanctuary and also listening on the live stream. There is the transitional listener. I pray that you're not that person this morning. You see, the transitional listener, that's a person who isn't really listening to the Word of God at all. They're not listening when God speaks through His Word. They're busy sleeping when He is speaking. They're busy visiting with those sitting next to them, or they got their mind on other things. They're already made up their mind. This is the most dangerous place to be. If you've already made up your mind, you're going to hear what you want to hear and not hear anything else, you in trouble. And then there's a lot of folk in this world today. We just have to look at what's going on in the world, amen? But there's a lot of folk who just come to stir up trouble. And that's all they're trying to do. And they're plotting how they can stir it up, how they can just rev up trouble. And we got that other kind of person, and I pray you're not that person either. But we have those type of people who in this world today who think they know it all. Can I ask you, what do you think of a know-it-all? I doubt that if you were asked privately, any one of you would say, oh yeah, give me a know-it-all. I just love a know-it-all. None of us like a know-it-all. And God doesn't like to know it all either, because God already knows it all, amen? And so anything that God says when they come to church or they're listening to a message, anything that God says to them, you see, they already figure it don't apply to me because I already know it all. I already know what I want to hear. I'm already going to do that which is right according to my own eyes. I'm not here to listen to the Word of God. I'm just going to do what I want to do. I came to feel good about myself. But then we learn there's about another kind of hear. And oh, I pray you're this kind of hear. This kind of hearing is the kind that brings people to conviction of soul and spirit. It's the kind of hearing that enables people to see themselves as God sees them. It's the kind of hearing that produces a transformational change in the heart that leaves that person absolutely breathless, because there is a great God in heaven who created you and I for a purpose, who desires that you and I would live so as to please Him and to glorify Him. And it leaves us breathless with expectation for what God may do in our lives on any given day. I pray when you laid your head down last night and prayed, oh Lord, I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That when you woke up this morning, you said, God, thank you for a new day. And Lord, what are you going to do in this day? I pray you awake every day with a heart of expectation that God is going to do something wonderful in your life, because God desires to do wonderful things for those whose hearts are fearful toward Him, those whose hearts who love Him. You know, a transformational here is where you are so focused and so engaged on what is being shared that we just lose ourselves in the presence of Almighty God, and we no longer think about anything else. We're just thinking about God, and we're not thinking about what we're going to say or do next. We're not hearing with the ear, the heart of hearing. And Jesus said often as He began to preach, he who has an ear, let him hear. Again, teaching us that there are two kinds of hearing. A transitional kind and a transformational kind. And oh, how we need to have a transformational ear. So in our first message, God taught us that there are two kinds of reception to the Word of God. Today, if you'll find in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 13, be looking for verse 24. God is going to teach us about the heart. And there are but two kinds of hearts in this world. If you're in Matthew 13, verse 24, if you would rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word this morning. The word of our Lord says unto us, Matthew 13:24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. You may be seated. Again, last week, God told us that there are two kinds of reception to the gospel. Today, if we'll listen with an ear of transformation, God is going to teach us about the character of the seed produced in the heart of those who hear the gospel. And so in our parable, our Lord spoke about the good seed of authentic faith, but then he also described another kind of seed that the enemy came and that the enemy sowed alongside that good seed. And that seed that our Lord referred to was a noxious weed that he calls tares. And tares are the seed of a false faith. And the tares mentioned here were known as bearded darnel. This bearded darnel, it looked like the real thing. Well, as you look around this church this morning, we all look like the real thing. And let's pray that we are. This bearded darnel, it looked like the real thing. It would grow in the field. And you could not tell the difference. And the false wheat looked exactly like the good wheat with one exception. When that false wheat grew to maturity, the grains were absolutely black. Family and friends, in the early stages, it is absolutely indistinguishable from the true wheat. So it must remain until the end of the harvest. Otherwise, the farmers might pull out the good wheat while they're trying to pull out the bad. And what's worse is that this bearded darnel was susceptible to a parasitic fungus. And as this parasitic fungus grew, it infected both the seeds of the plant, and it would be poisonous to both humans and animals. And so you see, the sower of the good seed we know as our Lord Jesus Christ. And today our Lord works through the Holy Spirit sowing his good seed, for our Lord said before he ascended up into heaven that he would send his Spirit. And so whenever the Word of God is being preached, the Holy Spirit goes throughout a congregation. And this is what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And so I want you to note that our Lord speaks of only two kinds of faith. And the character of those two kinds of faith is represented by the seeds described here in this parable. And therefore, the tares being described herein are folks who have all the outward looks of someone who is saved, yet inwardly their heart is as black as that bearded darnel. And I believe that the Bible character that most represents this bearded darnel is someone who is very close to Jesus during his ministry here on earth. It was someone who was chosen by Jesus to be among his disciples, and someone who had every opportunity to be saved, but the word of God he would not hear. He'd already decided, just like a lot of people do today. And that someone is Judas. Judas looked every bit like the real wheat. just like the other disciples did. But we all should know his heart was as black as that beard of Darnell. And when harvest time came for Judas, our Lord separated the real wheat from the chaff, just as our text says. Family and friends, only the Lord knows the true condition of your heart this morning. Only he knows, if you sit here this morning, if you are a true wheat or a tare. Now, I know you don't like hearing that, but that's just the truth. That's just the plain truth of the matter, isn't it? There's only two kinds of faith, a real one and a false one. Not a single one of us could say that I'm going to live to such and such a date. This may be the last message you ever hear. Have you ever stopped to think about that? You know, we seem to take things for granted. We say, well, I'll be back to church next week. I'll listen next week. No, this may be the last message you ever hear. There is not a single one of us who knows if we'll move or live another moment. We all expect to come back tonight. We may not be able to come back tonight because God knows when we're leaving this earth. Amen? And so if I were to ask you, how long are you going to live? Not a single one of us could say, I'm going to live to such and such a date. I'm going to do such and such things. I'm going to accomplish all this thing, because no man knows the day or the hour when the Lord may call you home, when the Lord may call you to an account. Judas certainly didn't know when his time was come, when he would be called to stand to face the righteous judge. Here was a man who walked along the roads of Galilee and Judea with our Lord for 3.5 years. I don't know how long you've walked with the Lord, but friend, you need to allow God to examine your heart this morning. Here was a man who saw all of our Lord's miracles and heard all of our Lord's messages, and though he walked with God, though he traveled with him, though he hung out with the crowd, his heart was far from the Lord. Because Judas only had an ear that heard transitionally. Judas did not possess a transformational ear. So every time Jesus preached, Judas heard words, but he didn't grasp any meaning. They just went through one ear out the other. Judas did not possess an ear that hears and seeks to understand our Lord's words and our Lord's ways. I ask you a question. What is it that you seek? Why do you come to church? Is it to understand God, His Word, and His ways? Friend, why are you here? And why are you listening on the live stream? If it's not to understand God's Word and to grow in God's ways, we're wasting our time. We need to have a heart that desires God. We need to seek the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. We need to love God with every fiber of our being. And Judas didn't do that. And I imagine Judas was like a lot of folk today who can dress the right way. He could say the right thing. Oh, he could put it on. But he never meant a single word that he said. You see, his actions proved that what was coming out of his mouth was absolutely the opposite of how he lived. Can I ask you how many people you know like that today? Oh, they can talk it up, can't they? They just can't live it out. We need to have a faith that we can not only talk about, but a faith that we can live out. A faith that we are living out. When our Lord asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" They said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And our Lord said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Jesus could be asking your heart that question this morning. And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ, meaning simply that all the disciples agreed he was the Christ. You see, Peter was only the spokesman for the group. Our family and friends, there are many who attend churches just like ours. There are many in our community who claim they know Jesus Christ, that they believe in Jesus, and many do, and hallelujah for it. And they are resting in an authentic faith, but you and I both need to know our Lord would have never used this parable. He would have never preached in this way if he did not also know that there would be folks in every church and folks in every community who would be resting in a false faith. And I want you to know something this morning. If we could peel back the layers of skin and muscle on folks like that, we would find they have a heart for God that's as black as those kernels of bearded darnel. Now remember, not only did Judas walk for 3.5 years with Jesus, but Jesus knew the condition of his heart. Now, I don't know if you ever stop to pause and think about that. But Jesus knows the condition of every heart that's represented here this morning. He knows those are his. He knows those who need to be his. He knows those who are lost. Jesus knows what's going on. The Bible says everything's open and naked to the one with whom we have to do. Jesus knows our heart. And isn't it amazing how many people try to hide things from God, keep secrets from God? You can't keep anything from God. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Judas thought he could hide everything, but friend, he couldn't. And only Jesus knew the condition of Judas's heart. So please understand, I'm not here to judge your heart this morning. That's not my position or my responsibility. The position and responsibility, that belongs to God alone, for he is the righteous judge. I'm not questioning anybody's claim to faith here this morning. Get that straight. But God has given me the responsibility as his under-shepherd to challenge you to think about the claim of faith you've made. Whenever you made it, you need to think about it, because there is a day coming, friend, and it is sooner than you think, when the Lord is going to judge this earth and all the souls of men who live in it. And when that day comes, you need to ask yourself this question: are you certain the faith that you claim will see you home in the end? It's easy to claim faith, isn't it? We all know that's true. Are you certain when your days come you will hear those words you long to hear? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Is your faith an authentic faith? That's a question every one of us must ask ourselves this morning. For no other reason than the fact that our Lord spoke about wheat and tares. And in doing so, he was describing for us the character of the seed in the human heart. The wheat represents an authentic faith. The tares represented a false faith. And family and friends, there are way too many people outside and inside the church today who are resting in nothing more than a false faith. Now remember our Lord earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, he spoke what to me is the gravest warning in all of Scripture. Oh, how I shudder at these words. These words should drive us to our knees before a holy and righteous God. These words should make us take God seriously, which is what it means to fear the Lord. Words that should make us beat upon our breasts as that poor publican did in Luke 18 and 13, who would not so much as lift up his eyes unto the heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What are those words? Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Oh, how many people do you know today who are claiming, oh, when I leave this world, I'm going home to heaven? Are they living like they're going home to heaven? Family and friend, do you hear what the Lord is saying? He is implying in these words that there are going to be those who are going to come to the end of their days and not find admittance into heaven, because the faith they claimed to have was false. Oh, it looked so good from the outside. It looked good to the other folks on the inside of the church. It looked good to those who were outside the church. Why, when they walk down the street, they go, well, look at that. There goes that fine Christian gentleman. But oh, friend, the Lord knows something we can't. He knew the condition of their heart. You know, every one of us can look good. I imagine every one of us can smell good. I imagine every one of us can say the right thing at just the right time, because we all know this language called Christianese. Oh, we can talk it up something fierce. But the real question is, can we live it out? Because Judas could talk it up with the best of them. And Jesus says in words so simple that a child can understand, that there are going to be those souls who are going to stand before him and cry out, Lord, Lord. And Jesus is going to look right at him and say, away from me, I never knew you. Can you imagine being in that position? Can you imagine how fearful that would be? Especially considering our Lord's description of hell. Are you aware that Jesus preached more about hell than he ever did about heaven? So we need to take it seriously, because hell is a real place. Hell is a reality, friend. And Jesus said hell is a place of utter darkness, a place of eternal suffering, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there are but just a few of Jesus' descriptions, and time will not allow me to use more. But I want you to note that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Vanity is a real issue in our world today, isn't it? We worry more about how we're going to look before a man or a woman than we do about how we're going to look before God. I mean, we chase after the wind in all kinds of ways today. Have we believed in vain? Paul went on to describe for Titus folks who hold to a false faith. This is what he wrote. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. And Jude wrote, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, Paul, Jude are describing folks who are holding on to nothing more than a false faith. These are folks who are resting in their possessions, or they're resting in their works, or they're resting in their church membership, or they're resting in their baptism. They're resting in everything but Jesus Christ, and they don't think for a second that cannot happen, because, friend, if it could not happen, Jesus would have never spoke about this here. Do you understand that salvation is not based upon a time in your life? Salvation is based upon what, nor is salvation based upon what you've done in your life. Salvation is not based upon a feeling you may or may not have. Salvation is not based upon baptism or church membership. It's not based upon whether you walk down an aisle and talk to some preacher. Your salvation is based upon the fact that Jesus Christ came into your life. He has changed your life. He has transformed your life. And the fruit of salvation is coming through your life. Friend, if you're not demonstrating the life-changing transformation that only Jesus Christ can give, is there salvation? Do you really possess it? How many of us can say we have salvation in Jesus Christ by grace through faith if Jesus has not transformed our lives? And it's so easy to be deceived. I'm telling you, if he saved you by his power, he'll transform you by his power. Our Lord paid too high a price on Calvary's cross for you to be resting in a false faith. Knowing that there are only two kinds of faith. Would God confirm your opinion? Listen, we all have an opinion. We've all already decided, yes, I have an authentic faith. Or else we're not going to admit to ourselves that we may have a false faith. But listen, we all have an opinion of the kind of faith we have, don't we? You know that's true. Would God confirm your opinion? Do you really have it? I'm certain Judas claimed it. He said, oh, I believe just like everybody else. As a matter of fact, he was so convincing that the other 11 disciples didn't understand he was a false believer, a false professor. But he didn't have it. And the very fact he didn't is another testimony from God's word that every church could have a Judas in it. Are you listening with the ear of transformation? Will the faith you claim to possess see you home in the end? It has well been said that a faith that was faulty from the first is going to fizzle in the end. Family and friends, if your faith doesn't last till the end, then you better check and see if you had it from the start. See, it's not a matter if you lose your salvation. It's a matter of whether you had it from the start. And I'm reminded here of two passages of Scripture. The first comes from the book of Jeremiah, where the Holy Spirit, speaking through the Lord's prophet, had Jeremiah say this: the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so you see, God describes a problem that you and I have. Every one of us thinks that we know ourselves pretty well, don't we? But there are those times in life when we get a rude revelation. Either we say something and it comes flying out, and once it's out, it's out. There's no getting it back. And then we think, oh my Lord, where'd that come from? It'd been in you all along. Or we do something and we think, why did I do that? It'd been in us all along. You see, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And he goes on and says, I, the Lord, search the heart and I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Let me ask you a question this morning as you think about Judas. Was Judas judged based upon his words or the fruit of his doings? You see, every day we do something, don't we? Every day we're laying down fruit. Every day the fruit of our lives is either testifying that we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we love Him with all of our heart, that He forgives us when we occasionally slip, but we don't live in it. But then we know there's another kind of fruit that's being produced in people's lives, and it's a daily fruit that just serves self. They live in sin. There's no definable transformational change in their lives. There's nothing that says they're a new creature in Christ. And so we need to think about these things. Oh, if Judas had only done what the Apostle Paul encourages us to do when he said, examine yourselves to see whether you are holding to your faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Perhaps if Judas had examined himself, things might have been different. But Judas did not, because he never listened with the ear of transformation. And thus he was found resting in a false faith. Whenever the gospel is preached, there are two kinds of listeners. And we know from Scripture, transitional listeners do not profit from our Lord's word. And since we're using Judas as our example this morning, we know it's true because this man who is resting in a false faith heard every message, witnessed every miracle, and yet his heart remained unchanged. Now, why this message today? Because God wants us to know the same thing is going on in our world today. Or else, how do we explain our Lord's warning to us? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is describing for us the character of the seeds that are produced in the hearts of those who have heard the gospel this morning. Are you certain? And you can be certain that He knows the character of the seed in every one of us. Rest assured, there are those who've heard the gospel countless times, yet like Judas, they've not profited from it. They've yet to give their heart to Jesus. They sit among God's people, or they listen every week on the live stream, and they sit among the wheat, but they're tares in the church. Not a single one of us can distinguish the tares from the wheat, but God can. And right now, because God says His word never goes out void, right now, the Holy Spirit of God is examining your heart, your mind. Right now, I'm more than confident because of what God says in His word, that God is showing you the character of the seed within your heart. And if you're discovering that seed is the seed of false faith, I want you to know that there is hope today. Hallelujah for the hope that we have in Jesus. You can have the assurance of salvation and the assurance of heaven. It's still available today because on this side of eternity, hope and help abound in Jesus Christ. For over 20 years, this sweet, lovely elderly lady from our home church was resting in nothing more than a false faith. She sat in the last row of our church. She was like some of y'all. You could set your clock by her. She was in church every time the doors were open. None of her brothers or sisters knew that she was resting in a false faith. She looked like a Christian. She talked like a Christian. She did kind things for others. She served in the church. And if she'd have passed on, there isn't a single soul, including myself, who would have thought she's gone home to glory. But then one Sunday, the pastor was preaching. And all of a sudden, she got up from the back of the church. Tears were coming down her face. And she got to the front and she told the pastor, "I just want to give my heart to Jesus. I've never given my heart to Jesus. I just prayed the prayer that I needed to pray. I did what people told me so I could be a member of this church. But I want you to know I've never been saved. Until right now. Tell me how I can be saved." And the pastor prayed with her. And she received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. I can still picture her on her spindly little legs, little hazel kid, getting up and coming down that aisle in that old log cabin church. Hazel kid. And so you see, there can be those just like Hazel who've been coming to Green Valley for a long time. You've heard every message that's ever been preached. You've listened to every Bible study that's ever been taught. But you've never yet received Jesus Christ. Today, I hope, might be that day. Thank God, with the help of His Holy Spirit, Hazel heard that message. She examined her heart that morning. And she discovered what someone here might be discovering, that, you know, if she were to die, she wouldn't be going home. She'd be going to that other place. Because she'd been resting in nothing more than a false faith. Bound by it. But God showed her on that morning there was hope in Jesus. And oh, I hope that I've been able to preach in such a way that no matter what you're going through today, you would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a God who loves you, a God who took all the filthiness of your sin and went to the cross, and Jesus He paid it all. I'm so thankful to know that just a couple years later, when Hazel went home, she went home to glory because she had Jesus in her heart. Friend, do you have Jesus in your heart this morning? I want you to know there is such a thing as the assurance of salvation. There is such a thing as knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And I want you to know that Jesus paid it all. And it's all to Him we owe. You know, I've been around the block long enough to know that some people sit in church and they think, well, you know, I'm so bad, Jesus could never save me. That's not true. I've been around the block long enough to know there's some Christians who have committed a sin and they think, well, God will never be able to forgive that one. Hey, God can forgive them all. We have an awesome Savior. And if you take nothing away today, make certain that your heart is right with God. That if today was the day you would breathe your last, you would be going home. You know, there's something that beats within every one of our hearts. All of us like to go home, don't we? I mean, to our own homes here on earth, but one day we're looking for another home. We're looking to go home to heaven. Be certain that the faith you have will take you home. And know this, Jesus loves you. He loves you just the way you are, friend. He won't leave you there. Hallelujah for it. But Jesus loves you just the way you are. Will you come home today? Brother Marty, would you come and lead us in song? And you begin praying right now. You pray for your neighbor who's sitting next to you. You pray for a lost child or grandchild or someone you're very concerned about. But you begin to pray right now. You begin to pray that everybody in your circle of influence has that authentic faith that will see them home. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing. Circle of influence that you're very concerned about this morning, but you're not certain if their life was then they'd be going home. And if there is somebody like that this morning, would you come and you pray for them? See, one of the great things about God is, boy, He hears the prayers of His saints. And this front pew is open for those who are elderly and can't kneel down. But, oh, friend, we have a great God. We have a God who loves us and a God who wants to see souls saved this morning. You know, Brother Jeff sang a song about someone who took their life and he didn't say something. We don't have to live with regret when we pray because our God hears our prayers. Amen. God is speaking to your heart this morning about someone you're direly concerned about. Would you come and pray for him this morning? Brother Marty. so good. I don't know about you, but I love God. He is an awesome God. This morning, y'all sit down except for Jessica and Katie. Tonight, we're having a special call business meeting, as y'all know. And we have a new Little Ed director that we'll be voting upon and a new Little Ed teacher. Jessica here is who you will be speaking to, and I'm certain that she's got a few words to share with you tonight as well. She will be the new Little Ed director, hopefully, and Katie over there will be the new Little Ed teacher. And so you be much in prayer for Little Ed. I can tell you, meeting these girls has been awful refreshing. I'm excited for what God's going to do through them in our church family. And you be much in prayer. And you be back here tonight. And but anyway, we wanted you to be able to see who they are. And if you get a chance, speak to them today. And with that said, Brother Steve, would you come and close our service in prayer?